Invite your attention to Mark chapter 7 as we continue through this wonderful gospel account. Mark chapter 7, and I begin with a simple statement this morning. It's obvious, but sometimes we forget the obvious. Jesus was Jewish. Can I say that again? Jesus was Jewish. Now, I don't know if this is an embarrassing, I can't imagine it would be, and you never have to raise your hand if you don't want to, but I'm just curious, how many people this morning here listening are Jewish, if you would want to raise your hand? I'm looking at one hand, two hands. Okay, I thought ahead, thank you, and both of you that raised your hands, you guys came to my mind right away, and I didn't know of anyone else. Here in our congregation, we have two people that are Jewish, and that's all. Jesus was Jewish. Jesus came to a Jewish people. He was born in a Jewish home. He ministered primarily in Jewish lands. He frequented Jewish synagogues. Jesus came to fulfill the Jewish scriptures, the Old Testament, and yet he angered the Jewish leaders because the Jewish leaders had all of these rules and expectations that they added to the Old Testament law. The Jewish leaders were convinced that salvation was for Jews. Salvation was only for Jews. And they could care less about you if you weren't a Jew. So Jesus came to this type of people, to Jews. And you would have thought they would have welcomed him with open arms. And they didn't. We know that it says in John chapter 1, verse 11, Jesus came to his own. You say, who are his own? That's Jewish people. Jesus didn't come to me. I'm not a Jew. I'm a Gentile. Jesus didn't come to you, with the exception of two people in this audience. Jesus came to Jewish people. He came to his own, and yet those who were his own did not receive him. The Jews should have welcomed him with open arms and said, you're the Messiah, you're the one the Old Testament was all about. And they wouldn't do it. Instead, the Jewish leadership tried to kill him and eventually succeeded. You say, why? Because they hated him so severely. You see, the Jews were convinced that salvation was of the Jew. Salvation was by following the Old Testament scriptures, plus all of the other rules we've talked about the last two Sundays that they added, the fences they put on the law. And Jesus would not agree with them. And because Christ would not agree with the Jewish teachers, then they rejected him. Now again, John 1:11 says he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But many of you, I think, know how that text of Scripture continues. John records, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Who did Jesus come to? He came to the Jews. But his offer of salvation was given to all people. It's a salvation that was to the Jew first, but it's a salvation that was for all people. And I hope we can make that clear this morning. The message I've entitled, Jesus, the Savior of All Who Believe. Father, we thank you that you've given us a word that we can understand your gospel. And we thank you, Lord, as we look at the words that you've breathed out, that your blessed Holy Spirit that indwells every true child of God listening, that he would illumine our minds to the words that we have before us, that we would know, Lord, your word this day, and that we'd do more than just gain information, but that we would understand better what a great God you are, what a great Savior the Lord Jesus Christ is, what a great gospel we've been blessed to receive, what a great church we can be part of. We pray, Lord, that you would receive all the honor and the glory. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, again, as you remember maybe from these last couple of messages, Here's Jesus Christ coming to his own people. What did they do? The Jewish leaders harassed them. In fact, the more popular Jesus gets with the crowd, because he's a miracle worker and everybody wants a miracle, just because the crowds are there doesn't mean necessarily people are believing. Some did, not many. The big guys come from Jerusalem, right? And they're going to check him out. Remember, that's back in chapter 7, verse 1. The Pharisees and some of the scribes gathered around him when they had come from Jerusalem. So they send the big guys to come and investigate Jesus. What's going on? Because these Jewish leaders don't really care about the gospel. They don't really care about Jesus, and they certainly don't care about Gentiles. In fact, the only thing they care about is if you're Jewish and you're with the Gentile, you better make sure you wash your hands because you're dirty. And the idea that Gentiles were going to hell apart from Jesus Christ was no concern of theirs. All they cared about was their religious traditions that they put on people. And Jesus Christ and his followers refused to follow their religious traditions. What did he call them? Let's review again. Chapter 7, verse 6. Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrites. This people honors me with their lips, 7:6, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching his doctrines, the precepts of man. Jesus made it clear that they had taken their own ideas, elevated them up to and even beyond the scripture. So he called them a bunch of hypocrites. But then he didn't leave it there, because the Jewish leaders didn't understand this whole thing about what makes a person clean or unclean. Many of you even know today that Jews are sometimes very conservative Jews, that is. They would follow all of these rules on what is kosher. And what can you eat? And what can't you eat? And what places can you go to? And this kind of thing. And Jesus made it clear, we talked about this last week, that what? The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Uncleanness is not an outside thing. Going and hanging out with Gentiles doesn't make you unclean. Nor does eating certain kinds of foods make you unclean. You say, what makes a person unclean? It's inside stuff. Remember, look at verse 7, chapter 7, verse 15. There's nothing outside the man which can defile him if it goes into him, but the things which proceed out of the man are what defile the man. You say, what's the real problem? The problem is what's inside us. So that's the context, just to kind of bring us up to date. So here is Jesus, and he's calling the official Jewish investigators who come all the way from Jerusalem up near the Sea of Galilee, a bunch of hypocrites. And these are the people that are now bent on his destruction. He tells them that all of these fences that they've added to God's word basically mean nothing. And then he's going to do something that absolutely will infuriate them. You say, what does he do? Let's pick up the story in Mark chapter 7 and verse 24. It says, Jesus got up and went away from there to the region of Tyre. And when he'd entered a house, he wanted no one to know of it, yet he could not escape notice. You say, what's going on with Jesus going to Tyre? You say, what's that all about? Well, the first thing we're going to see, remember the context, it's all about clean and unclean. And your disciples, they're not clean because they're hanging out with Gentiles. So what does Jesus immediately do? Sometimes you hear people say, don't make waves. Well, Jesus didn't buy into that. Jesus was willing to confront people and make waves. You know what he did? He marched right into very unclean places. And that's the first thing that we'll see in the text. Again, verse 24. It says that Jesus went to the region of Tyre. You say, what's going on in that region? You say, what is it? It's a place where no good Jew would ever go. It's the land of the Gentiles. I mean, if you were young and out playing, maybe mom and dad would say something, you know, son, you could play, make sure you hang around Jewish people, but you don't want to go up north. You don't want to leave Palestine. You don't want to hang out with the Gentiles. They're unclean. You stay away from them. Jesus didn't. Jesus, what does he do? He wants to spend some time ministering to his 12. You say, how do you know he wanted to minister to the 12? Well, again, just to help us with context, if you want to go back to chapter 6 and verses 31 and 32, you'll notice way back, if you turn back a page or two, in 6:31 and 32, it says in 6:31 that he, Jesus, said to them, that's his 12 disciples, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while. For there were many people coming and going. They did not even have time to eat. So verse 32, they went away in the boat to a secluded place by themselves, but it didn't work because verse 33, the people saw them going and many recognized them and ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them. And so what does he do? He says, I know a place where I can get away from all of the Jews. I can get away from all of the scribes. I can get away from all of the Pharisees. Let's go up into Gentile land. You say it's unclean. No, it's not unclean. Jesus goes there. And he goes there with the goal of ministering. And so that's his plan. He heads up to Tyre. Now, Tyre's a Mediterranean seaport city. It's in Phoenicia. Modern days, we would call it Lebanon. And it's roughly 40 miles northwest of Capernaum. And I don't know if this map's going to be big enough for you to see in the back, but whenever I look at a map of the Holy Land, and I don't teach geography, so you know, I'm pretty simple. I'm always looking. The Mediterranean Sea generally is off on the west, right? When we look at something about the life of Jesus Christ. And then you look for your two bodies of water. Try to just give you a couple of anchors, okay? That was a pun. And here's the Dead Sea. Thank you. And here's the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River going. And so we know that Jesus raised in Nazareth. That's up here. And most of the what we've read in Mark's gospel account so far is generally in the Sea of Galilee area. You say, so what happens? The big Jewish guys from Jerusalem, right? That's like Washington, D.C. They come up here to check out Jesus. And Jesus says, fine. If that's what you want to do, we're gone. And he takes his followers way up here to Tyre. And most commentaries I've read, I should have checked this out with Pastor Ward, said that this is the first time it's recorded that Jesus is outside of Palestine. He's in enemy territory if you are a devout Jew. And he didn't care. You say, but he'd be unclean. He didn't care. Because Jesus didn't follow man's religious traditions. Jesus decided that he would minister, number one, in unclean places. And to make it even more clear, number two, Jesus ministered to unclean people. Because what happens in verse 25? It says that after hearing of him, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately came and fell at his feet. Now, the woman was a Gentile. Some of your Bibles might have Greek, and the word literally is Greek, but it doesn't mean she was necessarily of a Greek nationality. It's just a way of saying she's a Gentile. She's not a Jew. Of the Syro-Phoenician race, just making it clear, she's not a Jew. And she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. You say, why is this a big deal? Because it's staring us right in the face. Jesus is Jewish. She is not. She is unclean. And he has no business being up there. And he definitely has no business talking to an unclean woman, no less. But this is the kind of person that Jesus ministered to. No rabbi in this time would talk to a woman. You know, many of you ladies know that history has not been kind to women. And it was certainly a very patriarchal period in history. And women were not seen as equal to men. A man would not, it's beneath a man to go up to a woman, unless it's for something very bad that you're not supposed to do. But Jesus did it. And here is Jesus talking to a woman, talking to a Gentile woman, talking to a Syro-Phoenician woman in Matthew's account, chapter 15, verse 22. It says that she's a Canaanite woman. And if you remember from your Old Testament Bible reading, the Canaanites were the enemies of Israel. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ talking to what the average Pharisee would have considered the enemy. He not only ministers to this woman who is unclean. Notice we're going to see the word unclean again. This woman has a daughter. And most people note this in verse 25. It says what? A woman, verse 25, whose little daughter had an unclean spirit. And that would be just another way of saying she was demon-possessed. What is a demon? It's a fallen angel. We could call a demon an unclean spirit. You say, why does Mark refer to it as an unclean spirit? Because this clean, unclean thing is everywhere in this account. Oh, the Pharisees are saying, you're on. Jesus talks to a woman who's not Jewish in an unclean region whose daughter has an unclean spirit. And more than one commentator have mentioned this would have just been mind-boggling. You say, how much so? Even his disciples really didn't like what he was doing. I mean, here's a woman whose daughter has an unclean spirit. Matthew puts it this way, my daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. Now, notice what the disciples say to Jesus. His disciples came and implored him, saying to Jesus, send her away. I mean, the woman won't shut up. She's unclean. We're up here in an unclean region of the land. She has an unclean spirit. We are Jews. Send her away. And that's even what the disciples tell Jesus to do. And you say, what does Jesus do? Well, you'll notice here, we look at verse 26. Again, it says, now the woman was a Gentile of the Syrophoenician race, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Question, would Jesus help her? Jesus didn't come to Gentiles. Jesus didn't come to Gentile lands. Jesus came to the Jews. The Bible's clear on that from start to finish. You say, what would Jesus do? He would help her. You say, why would he help her? Because Jesus not only ministered to unclean people, Jesus ministered to anyone. Jesus ministered to anyone who would believe. You say, did this woman believe? Notice again, verse 25. After hearing of him, of Jesus, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately came and fell at his feet. Here is this woman at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, showing him honor. In verse 26, second half, she kept asking him, cast the demon out of my daughter. You say, what was Jesus' initial response? You know, it's interesting. According to the account in the Gospel of Matthew, it says the first thing Jesus said was nothing. I read now from Matthew 12:25. Matthew records that Jesus did not answer her a word. A woman in front of Jesus falling down, saying, Lord, my daughter has an unclean spirit. Jesus says nothing. And then the woman cries out, Lord, help me. So Jesus responds. And here's the response of Jesus in verse 27. And he was saying to her, let the children be satisfied first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Now, I think, to be frank, for a lot of us, when we read the Bible, maybe especially the first couple of times you're reading through the Bible, you read that and you go, wow. I mean, I've had certainly a lot of places in my life where I'm reading through the Bible and I just go, wow. That is not even close to what I would have thought. I would have never thought Jesus would have said something like that. It just doesn't seem right. I know it's okay because Jesus is Jesus and one day I'll figure it out. But just on my casual reading of the Bible, that just kind of hits me as not being very nice. But that's what Jesus said.
So let's see if we can work through it a little bit and understand it. Verse 27, I'll read it again. This is what Jesus says. Verse 27, let the children be satisfied first, for it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. What is Jesus trying to explain to her? That the gospel came to the Jews first. That's all through the scripture. Jesus is in a Gentile territory. Now it's interesting, he's not openly preaching. That will come later. The gospel will make it to Samaria. We'll read about that in Acts 10 and 11, even though that's controversial. At this point in time, Jesus is not openly preaching to Gentiles. But here is a woman who wants to believe. And so Jesus says, let the children be satisfied first. You say, who are the children? Those are the Jews. Jesus is reminding her, I came to the Jews first. But can we just pause a little bit, guys, and think about the word first? You only say first if there's a what? A second. And there will be a second. And anyone who wants to put faith in Christ is welcome. But Jesus came first to the Jews. So he says, let the children be satisfied first. It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. You say, well, they're referring to this woman then as a dog, right? Well, yes, but let's just kind of think this through. Dogs in the ancient world were looked down upon. They were scavengers. You didn't really have really nice pet dogs that you all make pretty and kind of stuff like some of you do with your pet dogs. And that's fine. I'm not suggesting that that's wrong. They would have dogs in their house. They wouldn't be pets in the way we know it. But you say, well, how do you know that they would have dogs in their house? Well, just what's going on here? In verse 28, I guess I'm getting ahead of myself. The woman says, even the dogs under the table. Where would that table be? That table would be in your house. What Jesus is saying is this. The bread, the gospel that I'm bringing, it goes first to the Jew, but then it would go secondly to others, even to those that are Gentiles. Keep big context in mind, guys. You say, who is Mark's gospel written for? It's written for Gentiles. If this was absolutely offensive to a Gentile so that every Gentile who read it would be turned off to the gospel, Mark would not have included this in his account. So it's obviously not something that a Gentile would read, a non-Jew would read, and make you say, wow, I want nothing to do with this. But be that as it may, Jesus was making the point that the gospel came first to the Jew. Jesus says it in Matthew 15, 24, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That is to whom he came. But even though the gospel came to the Jew first, the gospel is for all people who believe. Jesus was not telling the woman no. Notice that. Jesus, in verse 27, what is he saying to this woman? He doesn't say, leave, go away. He says, let the children be satisfied first. Now notice her response, verse 28. But she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table feed on the children's crumbs. You say, what was Jesus doing? Testing her faith. Does she really believe? And she does. Lord, I understand what you're saying, right? In any house, children come first. You guys know that, right? If I'm in my house, in my structure, my house, you say, who comes first? My wife, my kids. You say, what if there's a guy outside like a postman or, like a delivery guy? Would I help him? Yeah, but I don't help him first. Kids come first. In every house, there are certain people who come first. The Jews came first. Jesus came to them. And she was willing to accept that. But even the dogs under the table feed on the children's crumbs. Lord, I still believe. And I'm crying out to you for help because I know that I'm a Gentile and I know that you don't hang out in this part of town. And I know I'm a woman and you're not even supposed to be talking to me, but I got this little girl and she has an unclean spirit and I know you can do it. Will you do it? And what does Jesus say? Jesus says, yes. Because the gospel is for all who believe. Now, Mark doesn't record it just the same way Matthew does, but here's how Matthew records it in 15:28. Jesus said to her, O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish. And here is Jesus answering the prayer of an unclean woman with a daughter with an unclean spirit in an unclean town that no self-respecting Jew would find himself in. But that's Jesus. Because Jesus came, please get this, Jesus came to the Jew, but Jesus did not come only for the Jews. Jesus came for all people. Jesus came for all people. And all who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are welcome. You say, are you sure of that? Yeah. Notice what happens. Verse 29, he said to her, because of this answer, go. She had faith. The demon has gone out of your daughter. Verse 30, and going back to her home, she found the child lying on the bed, the demon having left. Jesus came for all people, even unclean Gentile women. Jesus came for all people, even those who lived in unclean lands. Jesus came for all people who were possessed by unclean spirits. Now, for two people in this congregation, maybe you're thinking, fine, I'm Jewish, he came first to me. Okay, that's good. For every one of us except those two, we ought to be excited. I am so glad that Jesus didn't come to the Jew and stop with the Jew. Jesus came to the Jew first, but then he came to all people. So that all of us that are not Jewish can be part of this new entity that takes place. Jew and Gentile coming together. Never before happened like this. Into one organism, one entity. We call it the church. We call it the body of Christ. And all people are welcome. And this is the gospel that Jesus preached. And this is just one more reason the religious Jewish hierarchy continued to insist on putting him to death. Because they wanted absolutely nothing to do with the gospel that was for all people. And we say, praise God that it is a gospel for all people. Because that's the kind of Savior the Lord Jesus Christ is. In summary, if we just kind of look at the big points we've made this morning, I read of this, I don't even remember where I read it first, but this just really helped me in my thinking. The gospel came to the Jew first. You say, what kind of gospel is it? It's a come-and-see gospel. You know what's supposed to be happening, guys, all through the Old Testament? It's supposed to be that Jewish people would faithfully worship Jehovah. They would be true to him. And then just like the Queen of Sheba comes and goes, wow, this is incredible, all peoples, even Gentiles, would be coming, and they would be saying, what a great God you serve in your temple. I want to know more about that God. And even in the Old Testament, there was supposed to be Gentiles coming to Christ because the Jews were believing in a come-and-see gospel. The gospel is a come-and-see gospel. The problem is so often the Jewish people would not believe. And so what happens next? Number two, the gospel then is now for all people. It's always been for all people, but you had to go to the Jews to find out what it was all about. Now it's a whosoever will may come gospel. In Jesus Christ, again, as we sang, with nail-scarred hands, he's reaching out to every man. And it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, the gospel is for you, whosoever will may come. Not only is it a come-and-see gospel, and a whosoever will may come gospel, thirdly, This gospel must be shared with people in all places. It's a go and tell gospel. We're having Vacation Bible School, Lord willing, this week. And we'll be inviting children of all nationalities, of either gender, of any racial background, of any religious background. It doesn't matter. You say, well, what if it's somebody from a different country who's from a different religious background? That we would love to have them. Because all people need to hear the gospel. This is the gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ preached. Paul put it this way, and I end with this. Romans 1:16. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first, but also to the Greek. So those of you that are Gentiles like me, when you're reading through your Old Testament, and you're kind of thinking, what's going on here? It's always God revealing himself typically to Jewish people. And even Jesus Christ coming to the Jew. How do I process that in my mind? Well, remember, he came to the Jew, but he didn't only come for the Jew. He came for all people. He was even willing to go very far from home in a very unclean part of town to encounter an absolutely unclean woman whose daughter was possessed by an unclean spirit. And even though in the eye of every devout Jew he was now an unclean Jesus, he could care less because he came to bring salvation to all people. And aren't you glad? And aren't I glad? Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ is a great Savior. That Jesus Christ would come not only for Jews, but he would come for all people. Lord, we thank you that this one gospel message has been changing lives for thousands of years, and it continues to change lives. We pray by your grace, Lord, it would just keep going on and on and on until Jesus would come back. Father, we thank you for the gospel. And we delight that we have the joy this week as a church family of sharing that gospel with children in Vacation Bible School. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to share it effectively and faithfully, that all of the children who come, regardless of who they are, regardless of their background, that they would hear the truth about Jesus and they would realize they need a Savior. That you would draw them to yourself, Lord, through Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that that heartbeat would not be ours just institutionally as a church, but it would be ours individually. Lord, give us a burden for people. People from every nation, from every race. People that are both like us and people that are very different from us. Lord, help us to be burdened to share the one gospel with them, even as Jesus brought that gospel to us. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.